You're listening to Your World Today on Radio Islama International. Members of the National Assembly were this afternoon set to vote on the Constitutional 18th Amendment Bill that seeks to amend Section 25 of the Constitution. This will allow for the expropriation of land without compensation. The bill was adopted in September by Parliament's ad hoc committee that conducted public hearings in 2018 on amending the property clause of the Constitution to address South Africa's land ownership issue. We speak to the Institute of Race Relations, Gabriel Krauser. Good afternoon and welcome to the program.
Krauser, thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us. How will this change the Constitution and land expropriation overall if the National Assembly adopt the motion to amend Section 27?
Well, it's a matter of context. On paper, it would allow the government to take away property, landed property and improvements thereon at no compensation, which means it can take your stuff and it doesn't have to pay you back. There are some scenarios envisaged where that would apply, but there's also an open-ended list. Moreover, it sets up a bunch of rules and regulations about how the government should go about earmarking people's stuff to be taken and how to sort of communicate with them, which effectively sidelines the courts. And it would provide, which is already the case, but it would reaffirm that the government could take land and then rather than give it through title deeds to other people, it could take certain land and just keep it for itself in a system called custodianship, but is more commonly known as nationalization. So that's what it looks like on paper. But from watching the debates in anticipation, the votes are just going through as we speak. It does look like it's not going to pass.
Yes, so that is the thing that you've spoken about in terms of it looks like it's not going to go past. The ANC and EFF pushed the amendment bill through in 2019, especially as the ANC suffered a severe blow in the municipal elections and has also lost the support of the EFF. So, you know, in terms of the situation, has it changed somewhat from that point onwards?
Yeah, I think that in some ways it has. The ANC knows, and we've reported on this before, that its own members are not particularly enthusiastic about this constitutional amendment or the land reform program as they envisage it. ANC polling shows this, that it doesn't show up even in the top 12 priorities. And polling by the IRR shows that more than 80% of South Africans would effectively not like the Constitution to be changed. Given the choice between expropriation without compensation to address past wrongs or an economy that's better established to actually grow and expand jobs, more than 80% say they'd like the growing economy. By contrast, and so the ANC's problem is it's wanted to say, no, look, we're doing this, and it's going to grow the economy. And there's just no one who believes that. So Julius Malema started to break away from the ANC, from this sort of what I would say is a figment of the imagination, where you can have EWC and grow jobs. The EFF broke away, and Julius Malema said, If you want the land, the first price we're prepared to pay for it is death. And the second price we're prepared to pay for it is poverty. He said foreign powers will turn off the taps, local investors will run away, and it will increase poverty. But for the principle, we consider it worth it. So in that sense, Malema was, I think, being more honest than the ANC. And that's made it very difficult for the ANC and the EFF to get along. Of course, the technical difference is that the EFF wants all land to be nationalized, whereas the ANC only wants certain land to be nationalized, although certain is such a vague phrase, which is given no further elaboration in the draft amendment that they're voting on, that the ANC drafted, that it could amount to pretty much anything or pretty much nothing. If it's nothing, then why shred the Constitution to allow it? If it's everything, why not just say it's everything? If it's something in between, why not provide some criteria? I think the ANC can't do it because it doesn't really know what it wants. It's married to the idea of revanchism through expropriation without compensation, but it doesn't really have an idea of how to make it work. I would say that's because it can't work. Others might disagree, but certainly it seems like it hasn't been able to make it work politically. The break with the EFF hasn't yielded the result that it was hoping for.
Yes, and you know, when we look at the consequences, what will be the direct result for property owners if expropriation without compensation becomes law?
The immediate result would be a drop in property values. Now, that would not be uniform. So if you're in Camps Bay or Westcliff, you might find yourself in an area under this legislation where the market might think that you're safe for a while. So instead of seeing a drastic drop, you'd see it just a plateau. But if you are in a peri-urban area, if you're in a rural area, if you're sort of along the coastal stretches, you have anything that a government official might think be nice to turn, a municipal official might think looks good for turning into a holiday resort or a local sort of gardening enterprise for community uplift. Any properties like that are going to be much harder to sell because the new buyer is going to think, how much do I really want to put into this if there's a chance that it could be taken away without any compensation? So that's the direct effect. But I think it's very important to appreciate that from my point of view, it's unlikely that the state would immediately seize 10 million hectare of land. They would start small. And so they would try to reduce that negative immediate effect. But it's not actually going to help because the other direct effect, which takes place immediately, is on the banking situation. And I'm not just talking about the land bank, which is in terrible financial straits and deals largely with agricultural land. I'm also talking about the major banks whose entire position is predicated on the thought that the housing mortgages that they are involved with are super secure assets. As soon as those look like unsecure assets, their shareholders are going to respond to that in a deleterious way. The ratings agencies are going to respond to that in a deleterious way. That then translates into further junking of our sovereign debt. And South Africa's private, we talk a lot about our government debt. Our private debt market is extremely high. It's been growing since the mid-2000s apace, and it's one of the reasons that our financial services sector is just about the largest single contributor to GDP. So if you think about what happened in America in 2008, where there was a bit of a pop in the housing bubble, and that caused a nationwide crisis. In fact, because America is so big, it caused a global crisis. You'd have a similar thing here in terms of a liquidity crunch. But because South Africa is not such a big economy, the major impact it will have will be on South Africans and some of our direct neighbors.
Yes. Very often when the discussion around land expropriation comes up, then there's a comparison that is drawn with Zimbabwe. And from your perspective and your analysis, are we going to have a similar situation? We often hear the politicians say, no, it's going to be in a different way. Well, the president also made reference to that. But from how you see things?
Yeah, I must say, I think Zimbabwe is a good example in the sense that it's close by. And there are so many Zimbabweans in South Africa that a lot of people have a on-the-ground kind of experience, but I don't think it's the best analogy. I think the best analogy is Venezuela. Why is this? In Zimbabwe, what happened is that the government effectively lost control and the veterans took the initiative to start seizing land and then Mugabe played catch-up to try and ratify it. So, you know, first came the expropriation, then the law was amended to try and catch up. And we know what the consequences were. That's not happening here. I mean, the July riots happened. There are lots of land invasions at a small level, but it's not sort of Zimbabwe-level stuff. What happened in Venezuela is exactly what's happening in South Africa. In the early 2000s, they said there are these latifundos, the Spanish word. There are these patches of land owned by very large landholders, and they're abandoned. They're not really fertile. No one gets to live there. No one's actually farming it. This is very terrible. And so we're going to change our constitution so we can expropriate that without compensation. Abandoned land, exactly the same story that we have here, or unutilized land. Now, what happened in Venezuela is there was a financial crunch as a result. So people saving their pensions, a lot of jobs were lost, even when it was just a small change. But that small change set up further changes. So in the beginning, they're just taking a few thousand hectares here and there. But in the end, they expropriated the largest concrete producer in the country without compensation. They expropriated Kellogg's cereal makers because they said this is terrible. This is American. You can't have that. All these little children are eating American cornflakes. That's going to turn them into capitalists. That's not very good. So we're going to expropriate that without compensation. And, of course, it was a very lucrative business, and some government officials got nice deals out of that. Now, Venezuela has much more natural resources than South Africa. Whatever comes off the coast in terms of natural gas, discoveries from a few years ago, whatever's coming out of our platinum mines in Northwest Province, we have nowhere near the natural resources of Venezuela in terms of oil. Even though Venezuela had so much oil to sell and get free money that they could try to use to prop up the system, with that small compromise to property rights, they set themselves on a path to absolute bedlam, where, I mean, more than 50% of Venezuelans have literally lost 8 kilograms or more just because they're hungry, because they can't find food. It's become an outright dictatorship. There's no more real pretense of democracy. It's a very devastating scenario, but it took 20 years from the moment that they passed expropriation without compensation. Or rather, it took 12 years, and now 20 years later, and still things aren't looking better. So they did it by the book, which is what President Ramaphosa promises, and the results are clear for anyone to see.
Gabriel, thank you very much for chatting to us this afternoon. Your time, appreciated.
I appreciate the chance, and Godspeed.
Go well. Bye-bye. Have a lovely evening.